Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
You know, the saddest development in politics over the last few decades has been the pervasive nature of people who profit off division and hatred. When I say profit, I mean actual profit. I mean, there's money in making sure you and your fellow Americans hate each other. It's really disgusting. It is the single most disturbing development I've seen in the last few decades, watching this happen. I've got a lot to talk about today. This is going to be an important show. Don't go anywhere. Today's show brought to you by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my savvy listeners are protecting their online activity with a VPN. You should too. Go to ExpressVPN.com/Bongino. Pick up a VPN today. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show on a rather somber Monday. A lot of news to report. I've got that. Fauci is back as well. Also, where is all of this leftist anger coming from? I'm going to show you a side-by-side that is going to just conclusively show you that a lot of this stuff about the abortion argument, this leftist rage, is just, they can't control themselves on the left. They just cannot. It is so deeply disturbing. Again, loaded show.
With cyber attacks on the rise, protecting your data security is more important than ever. So why is Congress considering a law that puts your data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill shifts billions in consumer spending to less secure payment networks, all so that corporate megastores can make bigger profits. Don't let Durbin-Marshall steal your data. Visit handsoffmyrewards.com/security and tell your senators to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, Joe, let's go.
Here we go, Dano.
Yes, we do. Yeah, another, folks, a really tragic weekend. We had a number of people killed and all, you know, sane, reasonable, responsible, moral individuals should be able to speak out in unison and universally condemn the horror. I mean, can you imagine some of these people, victims of murder in both Buffalo and in California? What it must have looked like to them, the final minutes of their lives, facing down a lunatic. Now, obviously, this tragedy speaks for itself. But we've gotten to a point in America now where every tragedy is sadly accompanied by, immediately, a round of genuinely awful, horrific human beings abusing said tragedy to destroy the country and divide you further. It's disgusting. It is so gross to watch in live time. All of these people who, again, I'm not being figurative. They literally profit off of dividing and making sure America burns to the ground. It is horrifying. I want you to notice how they work, specifically with regards to this just horror up in Buffalo. It's been the weekend, so we've had a chance to kind of distill out fact from conspiracy theories and nonsense. So a young man shot up a supermarket in Buffalo, apparently from this manifesto motivated by a lot of bigotry. The manifesto, you notice, oh, by the way, they won't put the whole thing out there, but portions of it are alleged to be his manifesto appear to have come out, and it's really disgusting stuff. Now, all of a sudden, the left, of course, which can't condemn and just stand in unison with the right and say, what's the cause of all this stuff? They can't do that. They have to all of a sudden switch the argument to a political argument rather than letting the nation mourn and figuring out what the damn problem is. The left says to themselves, what do we do here? Okay, we didn't talk much about Waukesha in New York City, where the motives there were pretty clear, but that didn't work for us. We didn't talk about that, but what can we do to leverage this tragedy? I've got it. Let's make this an argument about the great replacement theory and immigration. Huh? The left, you know, promotes lawbreaking at the border and elsewhere. It's their thing. Said nothing about the BLM. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to say nothing. They actually encourage the BLM and Antifa rioting in the cities. They promote lawbreaking at the border. They want to create, again, permanent dependency. This is not a race argument. It's a dependency argument by promoting lawbreaking at the border so that the left can garner more power. It's about power to them. Then in order to make you not notice what they're openly promoting, law-breaking and violence, while we speak out against it, they make a racial argument about it to shut you up so you pay no attention to what they're actually doing. That's step three. Step four, you better celebrate us promoting law-breaking, rioting, racial animus, and teaching your kids they're racist. Or if you don't do that, we will call you the racist. Now, suckers fall for this. Not me. And not others. Suckers fall for this. And then five, when we argue back to them, this has nothing to do with race. This is about the destruction of the American middle class and about you promoting law-breaking around. The left then doubles down and calls you a racist despite doing the racist bigot stuff themselves. Here's what I mean. This is CNN. Again, instead of trying to get to the bottom of why a guy, if this manifesto is true, may have been motivated by racism and anti-Semitism, instead of trying to get to the bottom of why that happened, to figure out and distill out what actually happened with this guy, they automatically want to turn this into an argument about you being a racist to shut you up. Here, check this out.
Over the weekend, Adam Kinzinger highlighted the number three Republican in the House, Elise Stefanik's use of the white replacement theory in an ad. He wrote, did you know that Elise Stefanik pushes white replacement theory? The number three in the House GOP, Liz Cheney, got removed for demanding the truth. The Republican leader should be asked about this. It's not just Elise Stefanik. If you watch Fox News, this is the mainstay of their primetime hours. Tucker Carlson discusses it in sometimes euphemistic form, but not really that all that euphemistic. What does this country do about the way in which this idea of white replacement has just become part of our politics?
You see what they do there? Did you catch the shift?
Yeah.
How it doesn't become about what would motivate a clearly psychopathologically disturbed individual to engage in what appears to be, from his manifesto, a racially motivated and anti-Semitic motivated attack. Don't focus on that at all. How do we make this argument about Fox News, which is really ironic, because some leaked portions of the manifesto, if it is accurate, actually attack Fox News for hiring Jewish people. You notice she didn't say that? You notice how she left that out? Because these people are disgusting.
Weird.
They are disgusting. They cannot get to try. Suckers fall for this. Suckers today are going to back down and not be able to condemn this attack and not be able to speak openly about the political problems in this country, mental health illnesses, crime, and whatever, and the motivations behind this attacker, because they're afraid of dunces like this woman blaming Fox News, even though the manifesto, again, if true, attacks Fox News. Here's Politico jumping in with great replacement theory too. Again, they make money off this. This is a grift. Politico playbook, whenever you want to find out what the left is grifting and making money off to racially divide America and stoke anger, just go to them in the morning. Here's playbook. This is from yesterday. The manifesto from the attacker in Buffalo includes racist and anti-Semitic arguments, memes, and debunked statistics. It leans heavily on the false, once fringe white supremacist replacement theory about white people being replaced. Pieces of the rhetoric, largely fears about demographic change as a political tool, have entered the mainstream via Tucker Carlson and other segments of the American far right. They're now believed by about one third of the country. They are. It was Tucker Carlson that talked about replacement theory, replacing white voters. Really? New York Times piled on this too. Here's Dick Confessor. Remember Dick Confessor? The guy, we just covered him a couple weeks ago. Tried to take out Tucker Carlson and face planted in humiliating fashion.
Yeah.
With a largely discredited piece. You know Dick Confessor. So he wrote a new piece, Dick Confessor, with Karen Urish. A fringe conspiracy theory fostered online is refashioned by the GOP. This is the literal headline of the New York Times. Wait, don't put the... Here, read the subhead. Replacement theory, espoused by the suspect in the Buffalo massacre, has been embraced by some right-wing politicians and commentators. This is Dick Confessor at the New York Times. Can we flip to the New York Times headline? from back in October of 2018. We can replace them. Just going to let that sit there for a few minutes. October 29th. You think I'm kidding? You think this is, you think I'm messing with you? Go back to the initial headline, guys. Let's try this one more time. Here's the New York Times, May 15th. Joe, checking. Can you fact check? That is yesterday, correct? Sunday?
Yes, that is yesterday.
Gee, Justin? We okay? Okay, yeah, that was yesterday. So New York Times headline, replacement theory espoused by the suspect in the Buffalo massacre has been embraced by some right-wing politicians and commentators. Let's flip again to October of 2018. New York Times, we can replace them. Michelle Goldberg. In Georgia, a chance to rebuke white nationalism. We can replace them. Joe, you didn't know Tucker. Tucker's espousing this fringe conspiracy. He is?
What is he thinking of?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like kind of like the New York Times is. If this is, you know, as I said to a couple of people this weekend, what's really fascinating here is how the left promotes a conspiracy theory that the right is concerned about racial change. If nothing to do, it has nothing to do with that at all. Nothing. People on the right do not want illegal immigration. They don't care what your race is. There is, can you name me? Here, you want to prove these people? I shouldn't even have to do this. I mean, saying that they're morons is self-evident by just, that's why I entitled today's show. Listen to their own words. Listen to their own words. Don't listen to me. Listen to their own words. That's a headline at the New York Times. We can replace them about their racial conspiracy theory. That's a leftist thing. It's their actual headline. I put the article, by the way, in the newsletter today for you to send to your leftist friends. When they say, stop talking about racist replacement theory. Stop that. That's your thing. I'll prove it to you right now. You take a poll of conservatives. Do you encourage illegal immigration from largely white Scandinavian countries? Guaranteed, 95% of conservatives and libertarians say, we do not. Wait, they're white. I thought that's what you're talking about. This is a racial thing. We don't want brown people. Really? I'm married to a brown person. That's kind of weird. What a racist. I'm really, Gee, you're a brown person. Gee's brown. I'm like, I hired him too. Oh my gosh. Get out of here, Gee. Instantate. Had a man alive. Replace him immediately. Really weird. I'm surrounded by all these people we're all supposed to hate. Kind of strange, right?
Yeah.
Strange. My wife's an immigrant. Kind of weird. Joe and I were here first. Maybe Joe was my first hire. That was it. It was totally by race. Joe's white. Let's bring him. And then later on, do you believe these idiots? They literally have an article in the New York Times called We Can Replace Them while blaming their racial replacement theory on Republicans. Now, the great Michael Anton has an article up. That's not happening, and it's good that it is. It's from July of last year. Folks, we've covered this article many, many times. But I want to read this to you because it addresses exactly how the left does what it does. How it is that they will openly promote a conspiracy theory, celebrate the conspiracy theory. Yet when you address the conspiracy theory, if you don't celebrate the conspiracy theory they're promoting, you are in fact a racist. What does he mean? The article again is titled, That's Not Happening, and It's Good That It Is. It'll be in the newsletter today. Read it. He calls this the celebration parallax. And he states it as the same fact pattern, right? What he means is, okay, illegal immigration is a real thing. People are entering the country illegally. If you celebrate that, you're a hero. If you address it, you're a racist. But it's the same fact pattern, okay? So he says, celebration parallax is the same fact pattern as either true and glorious or false and scurrilous, depending on who states it. In contemporary speech on any controversial topic, or to say better, regime priority, the decisive factor is the intent of the speaker. If she can be presumed to be celebrating the phenomenon under discussion, she may shout her approval from the rooftops. If not, he better shut up before someone comes along to shut him up. Please understand what he's talking about. The fact that we have illegal immigration into this country en masse is not disputed. It's a fact. We have numbers. It's not open for dispute by sane people. It doesn't include liberals, right? Now, if you celebrate that fact and write an op-ed in the New York Times, literally titled again, "We Can Replace Him, You're a Hero." Yet if you cite the article in the New York Times, you're definitely a racist. The fact pattern hasn't changed at all. The op-ed's real and immigration's real. But if you cite it, you're definitely a racist. He goes on, Anton. Talk about how the distinction point here, excuse me, I mean to trip over my words. The distinction, the delineation between the two is not support or non-support of the position. It's celebration versus non-celebration. Anton writes, note also the key distinction here is celebration versus non-celebration, not support versus opposition. One need not actually clearly oppose the subject under discussion in order to be blameworthy. Declining or neglecting to celebrate it forcefully enough is enough. Listen to this next line. As in Stalin's Russia, lack of enthusiastic clapping is regarded as opposition. The legitimacy of one's right to state the same identical fact in the same identical language, New York Times, we could replace him, depends on who one is and what one thinks of it. Folks, this is one of the most important. It's written in July of last year. We've addressed it on the show, I don't know, guys, 10 times already? It is probably the single most important piece in diagnosing what the left is trying to do to you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to speak truth. Folks, these two things are true at the same time. Moral, ethical, goodwill, patriotic people can forcefully and vigorously condemn this beyond horrific attack in Buffalo. Stories of a young girl hiding in a freezer, 8 years old, hearing the gunshots outside. It's the kind of thing all of us should universally, loudly and boldly condemn. If this manifesto is real, this man seems to have been motivated by just some disgusting ideas. But the simultaneous thought on the other side, that the left can then leverage a tragedy while the bodies are still warm, to silence you and censor you from talking about politics. No, 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 we're not doing that. We're not doing it. Weird too, how the left doesn't want to talk about real tragedies. Well, we've addressed too and condemned loudly, as should be done. New York City subway attack, narrative didn't fit them right there. Waukesha didn't fit them either. You don't hear much about that, do you? Mark Hemingway noted this in his Twitter account. Does a great job. Mark Hemingway notes, remember how 6 people were killed and 62 injured in Waukesha and Biden wouldn't visit because of the politics? Eh, good times. He quote tweets an article, Biden headed to Buffalo on Tuesday following massacre. Good. No, I mean it. Good. He is the president. He should go to Buffalo. No caveat, no asterisk, guy. Why didn't he go to Waukesha? Didn't want to bring attention to a politically inconvenient narrative. So it's not really about human beings. It's about what you can do to gather and garner a few votes. Disgusting. Disgusting. Folks, this anger is everywhere. I'm going to get to this more coming up in a minute. A lot of it is just emanating and spewing from the left. There's some video this weekend that we should all be able to universally condemn again and again. It appears to be whatever your political aspirations are. If you celebrate this kind of stuff, you're wonderful. If you call it out, you're definitely the bad guy. It's unforgivable. All right, take a break. It's been a deep show here. Let me get to my next sponsor. If you're looking for a new rifle or shotgun, I wholeheartedly recommend Henry Repeating Arms. You can visit them at henryusa.com. They've got more than 200 models to choose from, plus new releases throughout the year. And trust me, folks, you cannot beat their quality and their craftsmanship. Henry's come in a wide variety of calibers, everything from 22s up to long-distance hunting rounds, and there's so many finishes to choose from. Blued steel, hardened brass and silver, antique color case, even an all-weather finish that can handle the toughest outdoor conditions. Some models have octagon barrels that are beautifully machined and polished, and they only use the best grades of genuine American walnut for their stocks. And I also like that they're made in America by a family-owned business that gives you a lifetime warranty. They have affordable models starting at $250, collectible editions that are splurge-worthy up to $3,000, and many options in between. And call them if you have questions. Their award-winning customer service team can help you find the Henry that's right for you. Start by ordering a copy of their free catalog at henryusa.com. They'll mail you the catalog with 2 free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals. henryusa.com. Okay, folks, where is all this rage and anger coming from on the left? Where is it? Well, as I said to you in the beginning of the show, people who just focus on division, teaching your kids they're racist, teaching them to hate one, and I'm not going to participate in that. We're not doing it. But I want you to listen to their own words. You want to see why the country's getting hostile and why political arguments are spilling out into violence, which we have repeatedly warned people about. When that red line is crossed, there's no going back. There's no going back. None. Here, listen to their own words. Here's a pro-death, pro-abortion rally the other day. I want you to listen to the speaker talking about, it sounds to me like an insurrection, talking about being ungovernable and this is going to be a summer of rage. I want you to listen very close. Again, to this isn't happening, but it's great that it is, Michael Anton theory, right? Oh, leftist rage, it isn't happening. And yet they celebrate it, right? I want you to ask yourself, listening to the speaker at a pro-death, pro-abortion rally, because abortion is death, I want you to ask yourself, this was a conservative rally, rather than January 6th, where Donald Trump asked people to march peacefully and patriotically. If you called to be ungovernable and for a summer of rage, what do you think would happen to you? If you were on the left, no big deal at all. Here, listen to their own words.
It is day one of our feminist future, and it is day one of a summer of rage where we will be ungovernable. Ungovernable.
Guy said it right. This is the current thing now, of course. The current thing right now, it changes almost by the week now, sometimes by the day. The current thing is that we need to abort children, and it's some act of benevolence and more, you know, we're on the top of the moral totem pole. So you can really say whatever you want because the current thing is political momentum behind it. It's a good point. Here's Pelosi this weekend. Here's Nancy Pelosi coming out, openly attacking the courts, calling Donald Trump a creature, attacking American families. Again, ask yourself, where is the rage in this country coming from? It's a serious problem, folks. We can't continue to go forward as a republic with a brewing undercurrent of rage that results in homicidal violence. We should be speaking out in universal terms, but no. When the left says something, notice there will be no articles this weekend about incitements of violence this weekend, talking about a summer of rage. They're calling for a summer of rage. How is that not? Where's Davey Alba at the New York Times and Dick Confessor? Where are they writing about the incitement of violence? They're not, because they're horrible, genuinely evil people who profit off division. They don't care about violence as long as it emanates from their side. Here's Pelosi attacking basically everybody. And you wonder why there's this errant undercurrent of rage throughout this country. Listen to this.
No, I mean, the point is who would have ever suspected that a creature like Donald Trump would become president of the United States, waiving a list of judges that he would appoint, therefore getting the support of the far right and appointing those anti-freedom justices to the court. So this is not about long game. We played a long game. We won Roe v. Wade a long time ago. We voted to protect it over time. We have elected a Democratic House of Representatives that is pro-choice. Again, you have 60 vote thing in the Senate and some lack of clarity on part of some of the Republicans who say they're pro-choice and then vote against a woman's right to choose. But it isn't. Let's not take our eye off the ball. The ball is this court, which is dangerous to the freedoms of a country. So, beware in terms of marriage equality. Beware in terms of other aspects of it. And so it is, let's not waste our time on that. The fact is, this is a dangerous court.
Sounds like an insurrection to me. So you have leftists talking openly about being ungovernable. Sounds like an insurrection there, doesn't it? Sounds like inciting violence.
Yep.
You have the left talking about a summer of rage. Sounds like inciting violence. You have the Speaker of the House calling the Supreme Court dangerous, an open, blatant attack on a non-political branch of government. You have her attacking families, calling Donald Trump a creature. Keep in mind, she's not a political commentator like I am. She's the Speaker of the House. Gee, where's all this rage coming from? It's definitely on the right, Joe. 100%. Great replacement here. It's definitely a right-leaning thing. It's weird. You guys wrote an article. We can replace. It's kind of weird. Sounds like it's your thing. Here's the new White House press secretary. Gee, where's all the rage coming from? Oh, definitely coming from the right. Really? Here's the new White House press secretary. Here is a compilation of our calling just about everyone under the sun she can a racist. Keep in mind, you're paying her to speak for the White House. You're all racist. Gee, where's the rage coming from? Here, check this out.
Racism, sexism, misogyny, all of that, homophobia, xenophobia, we connect it to Donald Trump, but it existed before Donald Trump. Fox News was racist before coronavirus. They are racist during the coronavirus. Fox News will be racist after the coronavirus. Racism was here before Donald Trump, and it's, sadly, it will be here after. Okay. Donald Trump. It walks like a racist, talks like a racist, acts like a racist. It is a racist. And we have a racist president in the White House who really pushes his racism like a peacock.
Donald Trump is the first president to have purposefully has made racism the center of his campaign, of his administration, clearly.
I think Donald Trump wants to get rid of legal immigration, and it's because of people who come from brown and black countries.
He might do away with DACA, which is another moral line that he would be crossing, which is something that would be enforcing, advancing a white supremacy agenda.
Donald Trump was a white supremacist in 2011 when he decided to be the Grand Wizard of the Birther movement.
Birtherism, which is inherently racist.
They want to put up these awful voter registration, voter suppression laws, which is racism, to make it difficult for people of color to vote.
And voter suppression is racism. That's exactly what it is.
So you're a racist. Republicans are racist. Conservatives are racist. I'm trying to write down the list here. Trump's a racist. Fox is a racist. If you support voter integrity and free and fair elections, you're a racist. Is anyone not a racist? To Karine Jean-Pierre? Anyone? Where's the rage? Oh my gosh, where's the rage? It's definitely, Joe, definitely on the right. Rage is definitely, definitely on the right. It's a right thing. It's great replacement. It's the right, you guys did this. Yeah, oh yeah. All right. Here's MSNBC. This is their verified Twitter account this weekend. You know who else is a racist? Homeschoolers, 100%. You are definitely, yeah, Giza. No, I'm not kidding. Here it is, MSNBC. It may seem harmless, but the insidious racism of the American religious right's obsession with homeschooling speaks volumes.
Wow.
Where's the rage coming from? The rage. Raging homeschoolers everywhere. Sitting at home homeschooling, foaming at the mouth. Foaming at the mouth with their shields and their swords ready for war. And of course, by the way, if you address any problem the Biden administration's caused while they're in charge, then you're definitely angry and you're pouncing. Here's the AP this weekend. Republicans aiming to retake control of Congress have blamed Democrats for, keep in mind, the Democrats are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They have blamed Democrats for high inflation, expensive gas, migrants crossing the border, and violent crime. Now the baby formula shortage is becoming the GOP's latest attack on President Biden. They blame Democrats. Notice how the AP leaves out that the Democrats are actually in charge right now. By Joe, admitted by Joe Biden himself as we played an audio last week. Where's the rage coming from? I want to address something else coming up that's really important. Because it's convenient how the left, when they think a narrative works for them, they'll leave out critical facts to understanding what we should all be looking to dive into. And that's to create a more harmonious country moving forward. We should be able to have a right and have a left, but have a middle ground where we agree this place is worth saving and worth defending, and institutions are worth protecting. That should be our middle ground. It's not. It's not. I got an article coming up next. It's going to prove it, that the left doesn't care about any of this stuff. All right. Let me get to my next sponsor first. Folks, I went through a rough time with an old cancer thing and Relief Band, as you know. It was terrible. So Relief Band helped me out. Chemo, I got nauseous a lot. So Relief Band, this is my actual Relief Band right here. This got me through a really tough time. It's the number one FDA cleared anti-nausea wristband. That has been clinically proven, I can vouch for it, to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. It works. Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist, right there. You'll see it, that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. This thing works. and it blocks the signal your brain sends to your stomach telling you you're sick. It's like the name says, relief band. It's legitimately a band you wear on your wrist to give you relief from nausea, change the intensity depending on how you're feeling to make it either stronger or weaker. I never had to turn it up that high. It's really that simple. The technology was developed over 20 years ago in hospitals to relieve nausea from patients, but now, through Relief Band, it's available to the masses. Plus, the product is 100% drug-free. It's non-drowsy and provides all-natural, long-lasting relief with zero side effects for as long as needed. They just released their newest model, the Relief Band Sport. Sport's waterproof, has an extended battery life, and can even attach to your smartwatch. Don't let the fear of nausea prevent you from being present for life's important moments. Right now, you can join over 100,000 Relief Band users with an exclusive offer just for my show's listeners. If you go to reliefband.com, and use promo code Bongino, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, it's better to have a Relief Band and not need it than to need it and not have it. This thing works. Paula uses it on migraines, too, for her when she gets nauseous. So head to reliefband.com, R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D, reliefband.com. Use our promo code Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O, for 20% off plus free shipping. Reliefband.com, promo code Bongino. Thank you, Relief Band. It's not just a spot for me. It means something. Okay. Folks, another thing the left doesn't want you to notice, which, again, we have no ambiguity about on the right whatsoever. Everyone I respect in this conservative and libertarian space, including you, the listener, I get your emails, I read your Facebook messages, your Truth and Twitter and Parler messages. Everyone universally condemns political violence, because once you cross into the political violence space, nothing's politics, everything's violence. What are you going to do, argue about tax cuts while the guy's shooting at you? This is universally condemned on our side. It's weird, though. It's really not on the left. Did you notice the exploding streak of anti-Semitism on the left? You know, you're not paying attention. It's everywhere. Everywhere. It's an obsession on the left with attacking the Jewish state. Haaretz has an article up that the Buffalo mass shooter was motivated by anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. If that manifesto is right, that's an accurate, perfectly accurate headline, which we absolutely, in unequivocal terms, strongly and vigorously condemn. As strongly as possible. It's kind of strange because you wonder what the left is doing to combat anti-Semitism. The answer is they're not doing anything. They're stoking the flames. It's kind of weird, right? Because CNN and others in the beginning of the show were blaming this on conservatives. And the leftist replacement theory, that's a leftist thing, as the New York Times already laid out. Kind of strange, right? How motivated by anti-Semitism, and yet the left in college campuses are fueling anti-Semitism. You don't really hear a lot about that, do you? Here's Wall Street Journal, just from a few days ago. Slavery, anti-Semitism, and Harvard's missing moral compass. So Harvard, rather than investigate its meteoric rise in the form of anti-Zionism, Harvard is expunging Jewish visibility. In 2020, for example, they removed the word Semitic from the name of a museum that had been established to demonstrate the common origin of the three Abrahamic faiths. Meanwhile, Harvard allows thuggish students to harass Israeli speakers. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I was just told that white conservative great replacement theory or some leftist conspiracy theory. I was just told that was that we did this, that this was us. Weird. The guy was motivated by anti-Semitism, which seems to be flowering on leftist college campuses. It sounds like a problem on the left they need to address. You see, because when it's a problem on the right, which it may be, people on our side, what do? We call it out in unequivocal terms. It is wrong. It is wrong. Does that need to be said? We understand that. But does the left? Matter of fact, you know, again, what's really strange, the Trump administration tried to crack down against a global anti-Semitic movement to boycott Israel called the BDS movement, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. Even the New York Times had to note it. The Trump administration is cracking down against a global movement to boycott Israel. Here's what you need to know about BDS. Gosh, wait, hold on. Leave this up a second. So we're just told Trumpism and conservatisms are definitely what motivated this anti-Semitic shooter. Yet it's weird. It seems like Donald Trump was actually fighting against this along with conservatives. And it was the left pushing for BDS and anti-Semitic behavior on college campuses. It's actually noted in the timepiece. BDS was formally launched in 2005 by a coalition of about 170 Palestinian grassroots and civil society groups. Oh, that's putting lipstick on it right there. 15 years later, it's grown in prominence. While it's chalked up only a few economic victories, it has gathered substantial visibility. It has an anti-Semitic movement, its supporters, and also critics internationally, including on the U.S. college campuses and in the state legislatures and Congress. Wow. Supporters. Gosh, college campuses and all that stuff. It's kind of strange, right? It's told it was all, that was us. We did this. We did. Really, really odd. Now that keeps coming up. Listen, don't be cowed. I just want to reemphasize. Goosebumps talking about it because I love this place and watching what's happening. It's just a disgrace. I'm sorry. I don't mean to speak low. You can and should simultaneously hold these two thoughts in your head that we need to address what happened this weekend. We can't have this happening in this great country. 8-year-old girls hiding in freezers in the back of a supermarket to get away from homicidal maniacs. Condemned and address. I don't have to condemn it. Address it. But do not allow your voice to be silenced by calling out wrong. You know, one more thing. I was in church this weekend. Justin was there too. And the pastor, Father Marty, who I've had on my radio show, is a good man. Address this very fact. At us as Christians and believers, it is our obligation to admonish the sin, recognizing we're sinners too. Do not be silenced. Do not be silenced. Address the sins of this maniac killer and address the sins of the people behind this anti-Semitic rage that promoted him. And the racism too. If this story and manifesto turns out to be accurate. But allowing them to sidetrack you and try to silence you with nonsense. Fox News did it. The guy attacked Fox News in the alleged manifesto, you dunces. Don't fall for that. Do the right thing. I know you will. Don't be cowed by these people because I promise you they're on the wrong moral arc of history. All right, let me move on. Folks, the next attack, of course, will be an attack on censoring conservatives and trying to boycott conservatives, even though many on the left promoted replacement theory and anti-Semitism, because that's just what they do. Disinformation is the currency of the left. That's what they do. They lie all the time. And because they lie and they want to continue lying, they blame you for disinformation to try to censor you to stop them from lying. Gaslighting, lie often, lie confidently, and isolate people from the truth, right? That's what gaslighting is. That's how the left gets people to believe in alternate reality. Here's what I mean. The left still has you believing going forward that these cloth masks are somehow going to save you from COVID. Now, besides the fact that it creates a false sense of security and potentially a danger, especially as you fidget with it, touch your face, and then you may approach people because you think it's saving you when it's not, the left isn't interested in that. They are just interested in promoting disinformation because control of information is the coin of the realm. That is power. I addressed it on the Fox show this weekend. If you missed the monologue, money isn't power. It isn't. There are rich conservatives who have no, they have economic power. They do not have political power. The control of information is power, real power. AOC doesn't have as much money as someone like Elon Musk. I can make the case to you, she's as powerful, if not more. Here's what I mean. Fauci is a supporter of the current thing. Matter of fact, he starts the current thing. Wouldn't you agree? He initiates current thing movements all the time. Now, the current thing is typically a lie. So Jake Tapper had Fauci on this weekend and asked Dr. Fauci, you know, you've been talking about disinformation, all this other stuff. The White House tweeted out something that is obviously a lie. The White House tweeted out that there was no vaccine when Joe Biden took office. Regardless of your feelings about the vaccine, that is in fact a documented categorical falsehood. Notice how Fauci, who claims to be a champion of combating disinformation, doesn't have the guts, the spine, or the balls to say, yeah, that was probably a mistake, because that's who Fauci is, and he's always been a coward. Watch.
I think President Biden, then President-elect Biden, had two shots by then. You're the president's chief medical advisor. Why is the White House politicizing the pandemic by tweeting out that there was no vaccine available until Joe Biden became president? It's not true.
You know, Jake, I'm sorry. I can't explain every tweet that comes out. So you're talking to the wrong person. I wasn't involved in the tweet. I just can't explain it. Sorry.
What a coward. What a coward. No one's asking you to explain it. You're the one of the chief medical officers in the White House. Maybe debunk disinformation? What a coward. Good for Tapper for asking him that question. By the way, here's Fauci, by the way, with a history of promoting both the current thing, which is typically misinformation and disinformation. By the way, I think it's Justin Hart may have put this together. I saw it on Raheem Kassam's Twitter account to give proper attribution. Who is it? Mays Moore? Okay. Watch this. This is a side-by-side. Watch this on Rumble. You can hear it on audio too. Here's a side-by-side of Fauci saying one thing about masks and vaccines, and then seconds later saying the exact opposite. That's why this guy doesn't want to call out disinformation. He just wants to censor you from combating his disinformation. Watch.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. But good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
Sounds to me like he's the king of misinformation. No, definitely not. No, he's the prince. Biden's the king of misinformation. I'll get to that in a second too. Which is, again, strange because Fauci, who just says two completely contradictory things back to back, not once, not twice, but over and over and over, and then refuses to correct with Tapper, obvious disinformation, wants to attack you for disinformation. Here it is. It is own. Listen to their own words.
Disinformation and misinformation is really a very serious issue when it comes to a public health issue like COVID-19, in which it is essential to get correct information out, both for people who are infected and who do need proper medication and proper care to foster things that are unproven right from the beginning has always been a problem.
I can't. I don't need to. Just listen to their own words. That's why I titled today's show, Listen to Their Own Words. We can replace them. Masks are no good. Masks are great. Masks aren't good for kids. Masks are great for kids. Disinformation is horrible. Will you correct disinformation? I will not. Listen to the celebration parallax, Michael Anton. The same piece of information, as long as you celebrate it, you're great. Call attention to it on the right, you're definitely a racist. I'm going to get to the disinformation king next, Joe Biden, who is really just at this point, the guy is just humiliating himself every day in the White House. Every day is a constant stream, a fire hose of humiliation and embarrassment. Let me get to my last sponsor. Here is the king of disinformation, of course, Joe Biden, who again calls out disinformation despite rarely, if ever, telling the truth about his personal life, taxes, school, healthcare, COVID, vaccines, masks, anything else. Here he is this weekend promoting an economic conspiracy theory. You know the economic conspiracy theory of trickle-down economics? Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I had a rebuttal on my show this weekend with Leslie Marshall. Thank you for all the feedback. It's on my Twitter account I put out there. You can take a look at it if you'd like. And Leslie Marshall brought up trickle-down economics too. Ladies and gentlemen, trickle-down economics is not a thing. It is not a theory. It is a leftist talking point, focus group tested, trickle down to make it appear that Republicans cut taxes for the rich and they trickle down like you're eating the scraps from Longshank's table. There is no such theory of economics. It's a conspiracy theory. Where are the fact checkers? Where's Bill McCarthy with his certificate from Ben and Jerry's? The answer is he's still busy lying about me and not collecting his $100,000 for saying I stated something I didn't state. Cash, Bill, $100,000. He still hasn't accepted them. I thought he was a fact checker. Bill McCarthy's nowhere on this. Here's Joe Biden again promoting the conspiracy theory of trickle-down economics. Check this out.
You've heard it 1,000 times when I was running for office. 1,000 times. Middle class built this country. Your plan was to build this economy around you from the middle up and the bottom down, of the bottom up. I'm so sick and tired of trickle-down economics. It only trickles to a few people.
You're so sick and tired of trickle-down economics. So am I, because there's no such thing. I asked Leslie Marshall debating this weekend. Thanks for her. I appreciate her coming on. But again, she cited trickle-down economics. I will say again to the listeners, if you can cite to me, just like Thomas Sowell, a great economist, has asked for decades now, if you can cite to me the econometric theory of trickle-down economics, the econometric theory of trickle-down, I will correct myself on the air and extol the virtues of your fact-checking. Not what someone told you, not what you read. I mean the actual laid-out econometric theory of trickle-down economics. It's important, right? I mean, Joe Biden and Barack Obama have attacked it through the years.
Yeah.
A liberal commentator used it on my show. If we can attack it, Joe, don't you think we should know what it is?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird because the greatest economist of our time, Thomas Sowell, has addressed this multiple times, how he keeps asking people to show him the theory, and really weird, nobody can seem to do it. Here, watch this clip. You've probably seen it a few times before, but it's critical. Check this out.
Where does this phrase trickle down come from?
Oh, I don't know. It was as far back as the Roosevelt administration. There is absolute, it is an incredible like thing. There is a non-existent theory that is constantly being attacked. Some years ago in my newspaper column, I challenged anybody to cite any economist outside of an insane asylum who had ever made that argument. Nobody ever came up with a single person.
So when Barack Obama says in this past July, quote, we were told that prosperity.
Ask him who told him.
Nobody told him.
Nobody
told him. No economist has ever held that. No politician has ever said it.
I don't know of anybody who's ever said it. In fact, when I put this out, and I went out a nationally syndicated column, various people wrote me and said, well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said it. But find me the person who said it. I don't want to hear how A said that B said. Find me B and show me where he said it. And that was years ago. Not one example has been offered.
It's interesting because I asked the liberal commentator who I debated with on my show this weekend, Leslie, to send me the econometric theory of trickle down. Lay it out, what the theory actually, still haven't heard. Kind of weird how they keep attacking a theory that doesn't exist. Strange, right? Another point came up during the rebuttal this weekend. I played it, but so many of you saw the show. I was told by the liberal commentator on the show that the Trump tax cuts that the corporations were really getting over on America. Trump tax cuts, Joe, really benefited those corporations. Middle-class Americans got screwed. Really? So all I did was put in, this is April of 2022, federal tax revenue all-time high. And here's the first article. Again, the most overused word in the English language, literally the first article that comes up. Federal corporate tax revenue and all federal tax collections headed for another record high. William McBride. Wow. Again, it's Dr. Strange, like weird right there. Trump tax cuts. Everybody's getting screwed. Government's not getting its money. Corporations aren't paying taxes. Yeah. They're only paying the most money they've ever paid in taxes. Just homework, you know, research. It's not hard to do. The internet machine. First thing that comes up, the tax foundation. What's the point? Okay, moving on. What's the point? I only tell this to you so you know, we can all go 6 feet deep and graduate to the second life knowing that we were not on the wrong side of history. Just a couple of quick articles at the end of the show, kind of a semi-lightning round we haven't done in a while. Bloomberg, India bans wheat exports as food security comes under threat. Folks, expect more of this. Is this a conspiracy theory too? Wheat can't get out of Ukraine due to the war. Russia, there's a large exporter of fertilizer and wheat. Nothing happening there. India now saying we're not going to export it. Is the food crisis a conspiracy theory? Are we stoking fear, Joe? Or if we cite the article at Bloomberg, Bloomberg celebrates it. They're okay, right?
Yep.
Bloomberg puts it and makes money off it. They're okay. If we read, we're anxiety provoking conspiracy theorists. Here's another one. Attorney General Eric Garland. Talk about a Freudian slip. Eric Garland, kind of a mix of Eric Holder and Merrick Garland. Eric Garland pointedly refused to say he'd prosecute protesters outside justices' homes. Remember one of the hallmarks, right, of a constitutional republic. Justice is supposed to be blind. You should be able to go to court and sit in front of a judge in a black robe and not worry about your political persuasion. Good luck. Good luck. Here's the last article I found fascinating this week. DNYUZ. I think this is taken from another website, by the way. They do that sometimes. I'm not really sure. But Naomi Lynn has this article. Prepare for arrival. A tech pioneer, this PhD guy, is warning of an alien invasion. Anytime I hear aliens, I don't know about you, Joe. I love these stories. I was like, oh my gosh, alien invasion. I opened the story, and the story is not about aliens as we would view them, extraterrestrial beings. The article is about artificial intelligence. The author, in discussing with these experts on AI, these AI people are warning, folks, listen, two big points about artificial intelligence. That when you teach artificial intelligence to master something, what they're really mastering is the game of humans. I'll get to that in a second. Keep that in mind. And number two, will this be controllable? So they bring up a great point about how artificial intelligence can be a real prize. Is this a conspiracy theory too, or is us addressing it? Are we anxiety-producing panic mongers for addressing an article out there on the left? Just checking. They note, already, artificial intelligence can defeat our best players at the hardest games on Earth. But really, these systems don't just master the games of chess, poker, and Go. They master the game of humans. Learning to accurately forecast our actions and reactions, anticipating our mistakes, and exploiting our weaknesses. Researchers around the world are already developing AI systems to outthink us, outnegotiate, and outmaneuver us. Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves? We certainly can't stop AI from getting more powerful, as no innovation has ever been contained. And while some are working to put safeguards in place, we can't assume it will be enough to eliminate the threat. I'll leave that there for you to digest, folks. AI learns the game of humans. And containment may not be a policy going forward if we let this get out of hand. Is that a conspiracy theory? All right, folks, please check out the show on Rumble. I really appreciate you all subscribing to Rumble. It is the future of free speech. Rumble.com/Bongino. We are at an astounding 2.3 million subscribers. The subscribers help us move up the charts on Rumble and on all the other platforms as well. Subscribe wherever you can. It's free. Rumble.com/Bongino and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks a lot. I'll see you on the radio show later.
You just heard Dan Bongino.